We are in this series called The Way. I think it's a pivotal series for all of us because many of us want to know what God's plan is for our life. We want to know what the Lord Jesus would have us to do in an earth that is so burdened with sin and pain and hurt and sorrows. How do we walk out His way? How do we even know what His way is? How do we know if we're in the right way? Well, this series is to inform all of us that we might know how to honor the Lord Jesus in our walk. And for those of you who are new and maybe you've never heard of this man called Jesus, I want to invite you to learn a little bit about Him today, for He can change your life. If you've been changed by Jesus, would you just give God a great hand clap of praise and let your neighbor know? I know I have. Today, I want you, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to kind of talk about what this chapter is really all about and why it's so vitally important to everyone in this room. It's probably the most important document and verses of scripture, passages, you're ever going to read. For it is the written word of the one who made everything. The Bible says in Colossians, by Him all things were made, and nothing was made except He made it. For in Him we live, and we breathe, and we move, and have our being. The one who created all things spoke in a chapter in the Bible that laid out the way to live. And so often we look and we're trying to look for mentors or father figures or mothers in our lives. And sometimes because of sin, our parents have not lived up to what we think they should have. And we have that gap in our life. But may I encourage you that I don't want you to be discouraged because you may not have had the childhood that you saw or that you wish you had had. For the Bible says that God is a father to the widow and to the orphan. For those who have lost a father or a mother, the Lord God will come and He will raise you up. In fact, I know He will because you're here today. This is His house. Somebody say amen. You're here today because He does love you. And He wants to fill those gaps that maybe a missing father didn't give to you. But He's going to walk out His word in a way where you can know what the truth is. And the Bible tells us very clearly, the truth shall make you free. And if there's anything that's holding you back, my prayer is by the end of this message that you will be set free from the thing that's burdening your life. So Luke chapter 6, we're going to begin in this chapter, and we're going to kind of focus on chapter 6, verse 46 through 48. That's 46 through 48. If you have it, would you say amen? Now, before I read into this, you know, many years ago, my wife and I were in Tallahassee, and we built our very first home. And we were excited about it because, you know, hey, you know, you go in and you pick out the flooring and you pick out the cabinets, you pick out the carpet, you pick out everything in the house. And we decided that we wanted to go to the very best builder in the city because we wanted our house to look nice. How many like a nice house? Amen, amen, amen. Who didn't raise their hand? Let me see. No, praise the Lord. So, stop that. All right. So we wanted a very nice house. So we got this great builder because we knew this was the house that we wanted to give. If we had to give it to our children, we wanted it that nice. And so our builder came. They laid the foundation. They built the walls. It was absolutely beautiful. Once we got everything in the house, God called me Eastburg. Well, the news was that God sold it in 7 days. We didn't think it could happen. But I said, God, if you want me to come to Leesburg and you're calling me to build a church in the city of Leesburg, then you'll sell my house in 7 days. And on the sixth day, it was sold. And on the seventh day, God blessed it. So when we got down to Florida, we decided, hey, listen, we've got all these children and I do mean children, not children, children. We got tons of kids in our house, and we wanted a place for all of them to play around in. And so we wanted a big house, and we found one. And how many know some things can be deceiving because they look great on the outside, but they're going to have problems on the inside? Hallelujah. Pretty ain't always perfect. Even roses have thorns. So don't grab so quickly. Did you hear what I just said? Look at your neighbor and say, did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what he just said? Don't grab too quickly. That's a whole nother story. Can I tell you a story? Can I share a story with you? All right. Sometimes, you know, you see something that you think is like awesome. And I remember it happened to me when I was in college. And I remember I was a freshman in college, and I was standing in a parking lot with my friends, and we were talking, and something about the sunlight glimmered off in the distance and caught my eye, and I looked. And off around the horizon, down the road, I saw a young lady, and she was the epitome of beautiful. She wasn't beautiful, she was pristine. She wasn't gorgeous, she was good God Almighty. You know what I mean? You know, just. And I wouldn't even say Jesus on his name. Amen. And I looked down, and you know that moment where your eyes meet? I looked down at her, and she looked up at me, and I'm like, oh, she's looking this way. And you know, she was just everything that you could imagine. And she starts walking in my direction. And when she walks in my direction, she had her own theme music. It was like, dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, I heard it. It was like in stereo. And my heart's beating, doo, 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 as she's walking. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm like, is she a leopard? What is she? What is she? And she's walking, and I'm like, oh, I got nervous. My heart start beating fast. My hands start getting sweaty. I'm like, oh, she's coming this way. She's coming this way. And I'm like, she's looking at me. And I'm thinking, that's my wife. That's my wife. And I'm like, I'm going to have 12 kids. 12. Y'all know when y'all get silly. I'm looking, and I'm like calling my kids. I'm going to have Stephen and Stephanie and Stephanias and all them kids, and she's walking, da, da, da. And how many know it can look good on the outside, but sometimes there might be something wrong on the inside. So she's walking, I'm like, oh, oh, and she walked, da, da, da. And she gets up to me, and I can't breathe, and glory of the Lord was upon her, and the stars were singing in the skies, and the birds were flapping and saying, oh. And she looked at me, and she walked up to me, and I'm wondering, what is she going to say? What is she going to say? And she walks up to me, and she looks at me in the eyes, and she looks up, and she says, my name's Tamika, what's your name is? My name's Tamika. What's your name is? Everything on the outside don't mean it's perfect on the inside. That's true for so much in this world. We look on the outward appearance and we think life is about what's on the outside. But can I share this with you, that God is not concerned with the outer appearance of man. God is concerned about your... It's all about the inside, not the outside. You know, when we got down to Florida and we got our house, I remember it was a real big house, and it had like 5 bedrooms, and we were all excited because we weren't paying much for it. And we got in, and didn't know that the company had a reputation for building bad houses. So from when the first storm came and the rain hit the side of the building, all the water leaked into the house and watered the carpet from the outside. And so our house constantly smelled like something was moldy. And we realized that it matters who the builder is. That although it looked great on the outside, it looked like we were prestigious. People would come up, ooh, you got a house. Look at your house. It's so nice. But we knew we had to hold our nose when we went in the door. And it's the same thing in this world. We can gravitate to things that look good on the outside, but in the nose of God, it stinks. I want to show you what God cares about. And I want you to write down what the thought is for today. The thought for today is very simple. God is building you. Write that down. God is building you. You know one thing about God, he never uses cheap materials. And when you build a house, the main thing you need to know is that the foundation matters. If you have a poor foundation, it's going to be very hard to build a house that will last. How many have ever heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Anybody ever seen that? Anybody seen that before? Well, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is named because it's in Pisa, Italy. And when the builders began to build the tower, they considered, well, we only need a small foundation. So they built this tiny foundation, and they began to build this tower upon it. But the foundation was so small that when the pressure of the weight of the size of the building began to lay against the foundation, the building began to lean like this. And ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, there are many believers in the house today that have a very small foundation. And in the spirit, they walk around like this. And everyone's waiting for the fall, but it's because they're missing a foundation. The Bible tells us very clearly, no man shall lay a foundation except it be Christ. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord cares so much that you do not fall. I want you to turn in your Bibles again to Luke 6, and I want you to read with me what he begins to share with us. Verse 46, let's begin. Go. He said, why call me Lord, Lord? Why do you keep calling me that when you don't do what I say? Can we read it again, please? Go. Stop. This is the kicker. Most people pay attention to the last part of it, when you don't do what I say. But I want to pull your attention to the first part. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord? Because the Lord expects that you do what he says. And he begins in the next verse. Let's read verse 47 together. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and then follows it. Okay? Condition. You come to him, you listen, but not only do you listen, but you follow it. Next verse, verse 48. Watch this. It is like a person, a house, who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it's well built. Verse 49. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down, of ruins. Ladies and gentlemen, God is laying out through his son Jesus a parable about a house. And he says these words that if you, in the King James Version, build your house upon a rock. When the storms come, it will not overtake the house. But if you build on sand, when the waves and the floodwaters come, it will wash it away. What is he actually talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, before we even get into Luke chapter 6, that is the last part of Luke chapter 6. It's the last section. And he begins to tell you that all before this statement is he's pointing to that literally everything I just said is a strong foundation. Everything I just said in the beginning of this chapter is building upon a rock. And let me say this to you. When God builds you as a person, God is not building the temporary. He's building the eternal. You know, one thing I love about Jesus doesn't tell you how to get rich quick. Somebody say amen. He's not telling you how to do your 401k. He's not telling you what makeup to wear. He's not concerned about your car or your investments. He's not concerned about the schools that we decide to go to. He's not concerned about the neighborhood or the clothes you wear or the shoes you wear. He's not concerned whether you have silver or gold or platinum. He doesn't care. He does not teach us how to get ahead in life. He is not concerned about temporary success. What he is concerned about is eternal character. Ladies and gentlemen, all of Luke chapter 6 is not with the success, but with character. Can I get another microphone, please, somebody? Because I want to speak. I got the pink mic. Come, go ahead and hit me with the pink mic, please. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hallelujah. Pink mic, pink mic. And it's on. Pink mic. Mute off. Yo, somebody come get this. Thank you so much. Awesome. God is not concerned with temporary success, but eternal character. I want to share something with you why this is so very important. Luke chapter 6 deals with the idea of God laying out the way to live, giving you the idea of what character really looks like, what character you need to have in your life so that when the storms of life hit you, you don't crumble. You know, so many people, when they look at chapter 6 and they begin to wonder, they build their life on temporary success, on a job, on money, on a relationship. But when the storms of life come, that which is temporary will always be washed away. So what Jesus is trying to get across to you and to I is, let me put something in you that is eternal. Let me teach you character. So that when the winds come, whether you lose this job or that job, you don't lose your integrity or your salvation because you break in the midst of the storm. Storms will come. Say it with me. Storms will come. But the people who survive the storm are the ones with the greater character. What happens when they cut you off in the road? What happens when they borrow money and they don't give it back? And you see them on Facebook in the Bahamas. The only thing that's going to keep you from losing your mind is character. You know, he begins to talk about a person who built their house on sand, and he begins to say, you know what, when the storms come, it will collapse. Because if you're building your life on money and you're building your life on a job and you're thinking, listen, if I can just get ahead in life and maybe I gotta sabotage somebody around me so I can get ahead, you are building your life on sand.
If you think that a relationship in a marriage is about control and you got to control him or he has to control you, and you think if I keep them in order, I won't lose them. If I put them down and make them believe that they're not pretty or not smart enough, maybe they'll stay with me because they're too dumb to see I'm a bad choice. You will lose the relationship because it is temporary. But a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man of God walks in character. And because of that character, he can lose relationships, but he'll never lose God. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's something to be said that character is eternal and it will outlast every storm. And you see in the temporary that he built a house on success, and that's what the first person did. I need you to understand that both people had a level of success. Do you see? Both of them succeeded. Both of them accomplished building a house. Both of them had a level of success. And maybe people in this world, you look and you go, how come the wicked prosper? How come it looks like everybody living wrong gets it gets all the luck and gets all the blessing? How come the wicked are rich and the righteous are poor? How come it looks like this person prospers and I'm trying to live right and everything's hard? Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you from the Lord. Listen, whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap. God is not mocked. He watches the rich. He watches the poor. And ladies and gentlemen, whatever foundation you built upon, it may look successful for a little while, but if it isn't on Christ, it will crumble. How many remember the song? Ain't nothing but a hound dog hounding on the town. Ain't nothing but a hound dog. I don't even know the words. That's all I know. One of the most successful secular artists, Elvis Presley. But do you know he started in the church? He started here. And he began to grow because his foundation was Christ. But then his eyes turned to success and not to the Savior. And at the end of his life, he found no value and he ended it. How many ever heard the song? And I will always love you. I didn't say I could sing it. I just said, have you heard it? I can't believe he's singing that in church. She started, Whitney Houston, had a foundation on Christ, but she moved her house to sand. And at the end of her days, when the storms came, it washed it all. How many remember the song? Billie Jean is not my lover. He's just a friend that says that I am a one. But the kid is not my son. Maybe let me go back a generation. A, B, C, easy as 1, 2, 3. You don't know that one? Boo! Okay. How many know Michael Jackson? Right? The man started with his family singing gospel. But at the end of his life, foundations changed. And he died the same way as the other two. Ladies and gentlemen, how many testimonies must we see before we stop envying the wicked? We should have a heart for those that walk with God. You know, but I'm going to tell you why, and I need to speak to some of us in this room, that our idea of success is to have enough money to be able to help the church. How much is enough? Who determines what's enough? God never needs money. He needs your character. Does a church operate off of finances? Of course. But if you don't give it, he will. Come on now. See, let me tell you something. Before we moved into this building, we did a finance campaign in our church. And I announced we were raising money for our new building. And all the members of our church were excited. And they said, "Where's the building?" And I said, "I don't know." But God told me in 2016 we would have a new building. So let's get ready. And you know, some people didn't believe. And so they didn't give. And we tried everything. But people doubted because they could not see it. And I remember after we received the letter that God was going to give us this place here, that a prophet called me and said, "The Lord says he wanted you to know that he gave you the building so that the people may know he doesn't need them to get his job done." But don't y'all do that again. That makes me nervous. The reason that we literally struggle in these areas of putting our reliance on our jobs and other things, and we go out of town for weekends on end, and then our taste for God begins to evaporate. We take off and we say, "We just want to go fishing because I deserve a life." Yes, you do, but can you give one day to the Lord so that you can grow? Can you give just 3 hours of your day so that Jesus can put something in you that is eternal? That you can survive the storms you're going to meet on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday after church. God is trying to build character in Luke chapter 6. This is why when you go home, I want you to study it. I want you to read it. I want you to learn it. I want you to get, we're going to get into it, but I need you to understand what he's building. He's not building a get rich quick scheme. He's building you so that you can withstand the storms of your life. But oftentimes the reason that we have struggles is because we misunderstand who he is to us. Would you turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 9? Verse 9, please. Verse 9. This is a verse that talks about how a person can come to know the Lord. But unfortunately, this is often misread or misunderstood. Can we read together? Let's read. "If you confess Jesus is and believe," yes, "you will be saved." If you confess, a conditional statement, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior. That Jesus is your Savior. What Bible y'all reading from? Jesus is the Savior. Well, wait. Is he your Savior or your Lord? Okay, which comes first? Savior or Lord? Let me say this and clarify. His Lordship comes first. And from being under his Lordship, salvation occurs. The problem is, so many of us only see him as a Savior. And so we don't want him telling us how to live our lives. We just appreciate that we can get our sins forgiven. But he didn't save you as a Savior. He saved you as the Lord. Which means that we ought to give him our life, our heart, our mind. He should have the right to speak into your life and say yes and no and turn left or turn right. That's lordship. But we say he's our Savior, so he gets the back burner when he should be the only thing burning in your life. Listen to me. How many grew up where your parents told you, you say yes ma'am or yes sir? See, I grew up like that. I can't call my dad by his first name. I wouldn't be here today. Hey, how you doing there? Luther? And I'll be like, oh, Jesus, how'd this happen? I'm in heaven right now. What happened? No, you could not speak to even to another adult. You had to refer to them, yes, ma'am, and what? Yes, sir. Why? Because sir ushered in a level of what? Respect. Well, the Bible says here that if we confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and the word Lord there is kureos, it means this: supremacy, supreme in authority. He is our controller. He is our master. He is our God. Our Lord, and watch this, he's sir. Oftentimes we don't look at Jesus as a sir. Yes, sir. Give, yes, sir. Go, yes, sir. Do, yes, sir. That's a level of respect. That's saying that I accept your authority. The reason why we call our fathers yes sir and yes ma'am to our mothers is because we say I am under your authority. Now I want to bring to your understanding, he cannot just be your Savior. He must become the Lord of your life. That you accept his authority in your finances, in your relationships, in your dreams, in your visions, in your interactions. What does his word say? What will you come under his lordship and look and say, I want to tell them off? But what does God tell me? Okay, yes, sir. And you bow down to his lordship. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why the world has so many things that inundate us is because we allow them to become the lords of our lives. And God says, I need you to come back home and look at the character I want to build in you. Here's a verse I want you to understand. In character building, you know, God wants us not to look at other people first, but to look at ourselves. Would you go to Luke chapter 6? Verse 37, we'll jump in here. And I want you to look at this, please. In this is an example of character that he's trying to build us. But God always builds us first before he builds anybody else. That's why when we pray, we need to pray and ask God to forgive us first before we pray about anybody else. Let's read this out together. Let's read. Do not judge, and do not. Forgive. He is saying to us, I don't want you to look at other people, because chapter 6 is about looking at yourself. I want you to listen and hear the character, because there's a verse that says, listen, take the beam out of your eye before you can remove the mote out of someone else's. The mote in the Hebrew language and in the Jewish culture is a splinter, a small splinter. Before you remove it out of their eye, you've got a big old beam sticking out of yours. Could you imagine walking around like this? You didn't see that. And you say, I want to help you. Let me tell you about your life. You know that's wrong. He says, remove the beam. You know, I've never seen a one-eyed surgeon. Is that right? I've never seen a one-eyed surgeon. Why? Because you need two eyes to go deep. You didn't hear what I just said. See, a surgeon needs to have perspective. The only way a surgeon can have perspective is if he has two eyes. That gives him depth. That way he doesn't take the blade and go in too deep. He knows when to stop and when to come back out. You cannot put surgery on anybody else's life unless you take that beam out of yours, because you might dig too deep and hurt somebody too long. Come on now, this character. He says, remove the mote out of their eye, okay, take the beam out of yours. That's not an excuse to say, hey, you know what? Because I don't got my right life right, I can't help nobody else. No, it's saying get your life right so that you can help somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to give us instructions on how to be men and women of character. You know, the first group of, as we begin to go through Luke 6, the first group of scriptures talk about how we can move God. That's the first group. But the second group is how we move people. And see, this is a play off of the Ten Commandments. Because in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, the first set were about God. And the second set was about others. Well, Jesus gives you a new commandment in these passages. How you can walk out your life. Let me close with this. This is why I say, if God is trying to build our own character, we must go to Him ourselves first. And I'm going to challenge you over the next few weeks as we go through the way, and as I'm prepping you for this series, that you practice confession. Look at your neighbor and say, practice confession. Turn to the other side and say the same thing. The only way you can see clearly is first removing the beams out of your eyes. What do I mean, Pastor Steve? Sometimes we don't even know we're wrong until we enter into prayer and our hearts get convicted. I'm going to challenge you to go into prayer every day. When you wake up, ask God, is there anything on my heart that's blinding me? Can you do that? How many are willing to do that for the next couple weeks? Watch this. Every morning. Now listen, I'm going to show you what's going to be your fruit of doing this. You go before the Lord and you say, Lord, what's blinding me? Because in order to see clearly, you have to have those layers of sin that just kind of pile up over time. You've got to empty them out so that you can hear the Lord and see the Lord. How many have ever had in your house, in the kitchen, and the kids didn't take out the garbage? Anybody ever had that happen? What did it smell like? Imagine in the spirit, when you do not confess daily, what does the soul smell like? And you are so used to it that you can't even smell it yourself. But everybody that walks next to your house, they can smell it. Your life begins to look like somebody didn't take out the trash. Ladies and gentlemen, to begin this series is about to begin the journey to build our character. And it starts with confession. It means going before the Lord and removing all that garbage so that our hearts are pure enough, our eyes are clear enough to hear the Lord and to see the Lord. I want to show you what the Bible says. If you would, go to 1 John 1 and 9 as we get ready to close. 1 John 1 and 9. Here's a promise to you when you go for confession to the Lord. I'm not talking about Catholic profession or confession. I'm not talking about going to a priest. You have a high priest already. His name is Jesus. Come on now. But every morning, over the next several weeks, I want you to wake up and not just pray, God, forgive me for all I've done. No. Be specific. Sensitize your heart again. Here's what he promises you when you do it. Let's all read together. But if we confess our sins to him, he is and to what? And not only does he forgive the sin, but he takes the attitude of wickedness away. My goodness. What you've been struggling with is solved by simple confession. And what he said, it's not based on whether you feel like you deserve it. It's because of his character. He is faithful and just. Why is cleansing so important? This last verse will tell us why. Go to Psalms 23, verses 3 and 4. How many want to hear the Lord? How many want to know the will for your life? How many want to see clearly? Come on now, let me see your hands. All right, well, this is why confession is important. It says, and it's Psalms, as I said, 23. 3 and 4. There we go. He renews my strength and he guides me along the right paths, bringing. When you confess, he renews your strength. He'll guide you along the right paths and he will bring honor through you to his name. Read verse 4. Even when I walk. Say it again, please. Let's try that again together. Go. You will not be afraid. This is so important for all of us because the reality is we need the Lord to walk with us. We need the Lord to show us where to go. We need the Lord to take us where we need to be. And we need the Lord to make our hearts pure again. Go to Psalms 24, 3 and 4. Just one chapter over. One chapter. 24, 3 and 4. When you have it, there it is. Let's read. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand and stop right there? How? This was a question by the great psalmist. Who among us can climb into the mountain of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? And then he answers in verse 4. Watch. Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tells lies. Confession purifies your heart and your hands. This week, practice confession. He wants to build you, and it starts with that. Would you stand to your feet?